May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's good to be home. As many of you know, I recently had the chance to spend some time living on the grounds of Canterbury Cathedral for a couple of weeks with young Anglican clergy from all over the world, from 15 different countries. And it was an amazing time, and it made me feel so hopeful for the future of the church. And I'm sure that whether you're interested or not, you will get to hear me talk about it a lot in the months to come. But today I want to tell you a different story, because this passage from Romans that we heard today has been so important in my life of faith. And that's because I had a friend in college who called Romans 7 the quit smoking chapter. He had started smoking in his early teens and had spent years already as a college student trying to quit. But he hated being hassled about it, like anyone would. And if someone asked him why he was a smoker, he would say, "I know, I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." And years later, after we graduated, he finally did quit smoking. And when I asked him how he made it stick, he said, "I don't know. You know, I had a million last cigarettes. I guess one of them had to be the last one." But he also said something else. He told me that even after all those years and the hundreds of articles and books he had read about smoking cessation and chemical dependency, he said that no one else seemed to get it, to get that feeling quite like Paul. "I do not understand my own actions," Paul says, "for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." And Paul is getting at something so big here. He's trying to put words to a feeling that I know I've felt, although I am not a smoker, which is, I know I need to make a change here, but I'm just not ready yet. And Paul's word for this is sin. And today's mental health field talks about the same thing using the word pre-contemplation. That state of mind where you think, I can kind of see why somebody somewhere would want to change this behavior, this pattern, this way of being in the world. But not me, not today. And these words from Paul have stayed so powerful for 2,000 years, because most of us who hear them have places in our lives where we might kind of like to make a change. Places where something is holding us back from living into all the purpose and joy that God wants for us. And another way I think about that is in the words of St. Irenaeus, who said that the glory of God is the human person fully alive. There are so many ways to be more fully alive, and so to give glory to God. And yet, mostly what we do with ourselves is whatever we've always done, because change is hard. Whether or not what we've always done is giving glory to God. And it's hard to be fully alive when the way you're living is limiting you in some way, when you're chain smoking like my friend did, or when you've gotten used to telling little lies, or when you find yourself lashing out or shutting down or doing that same toxic thing that you promised yourself you would never, ever do. And Paul knew this. He got it. He knew that he was not quite fully alive yet, but he had gotten a glimpse of how that might feel to live as the person God called him to be in that radiant glory of the light of the law of God. And he had figured out that a few things he was doing might have been holding him back. So I wonder if we find ourselves in that place where we don't understand our own actions, where we notice that we're doing the thing that we hate. What do we do next? So in other words, how do you get yourself to that last cigarette? If Paul's letter to the Romans is any guide, it begins with seeing the need for a change. That knowing what's right and doing what's right aren't always the same. And that maybe there are some cycles it's time to break. And then as we move into those changes and new ways of being, trying to see ourselves as God sees us, demanding our best, but also forgiving our mistakes. Because God has been watching people try to change since Adam and Eve. And as we keep moving ourselves toward that place of being more fully alive in Christ, we have to remember that we're never doing the work alone. It's no accident that matched up with this desperate feeling of Paul's letter today, we get the hopefulness of Matthew's gospel. Because Jesus sees all the burdens we carry and the shame that we bear, and he makes that promise that we know so well. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Never think that your burdens are too heavy or too small for Jesus to care about them. Never imagine that Jesus is anything other than your front row cheerleader as you seek to live more fully into the life that God has dreamed for you. Because we may not understand our own actions, but we trust in the one who does. We trust in the one who gives us the power to do new things and be new things that we could never become on our own. May we all seek to give glory to God by striving to become ever more fully alive. Amen.
Amen.